Welcome back to the podcast. Today, Ford still loses money on EVs, Mercedes GLC pricing, and the XPeng X9 spotted here in Europe. Plus, stay tuned, because later in the show, I'll tell you how the UK is combating charger cable theft. Advanced warning, that's probably me done for 4 days. It's the school holidays for a week or so, and I'm going to take my lad camping if all looks okay. It's pretty wet at the minute, but we can deal with the weather, but he's kind of coming down with something. Honestly, if we were still testing, I'd swear it was COVID, because he's not very well at the moment. So we'll see. Sometimes kids shake these things off within, 24 hours, and they're bouncing off the walls the next day. I don't know. If he's not very well, I'll be here doing maybe some weekend shows, and I'll be here Monday, Tuesday. If he is good, then I should be back on the podcast either Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. So, some advanced warning. I'll take a couple of days off. These times are precious when they're on their school holidays. And so I'll take him off, take the bikes, and head off to the forest somewhere and do some camping and some cooking outdoors and stuff like that. He's 7 now, a little bit of dad time. That'll be good fun. Now, let's kick off with Ford posting their Q3 revenue, which was good, by the way, $50.5 billion, topping Wall Street's estimate of $44 billion, revising its previously suspended financial outlook for the year to account for supply chain disruptions. The company said results will be affected by the tariffs in the US, and there's been a recent aluminum plant in New York with a fire affecting their supply chain. What about the EVs? That's what we care about. Ford's EV unit is called Model E, and it lost another $1.4 billion in Q3 on $1.8 billion of revenue for July to September, producing, if you're interested, a Q3 EBIT margin of negative 79% and a 9-month margin negative 66.7%. Year to date, Model EV, $3.6 billion in losses, $800 million Q1, $1.3 billion Q2, and now $1.4 billion. So Q3 revenue was down from last quarter as well, but rose year over year. Ford revised its guidance. Model E's 50% year over year revenue growth accompanies some near term losses as well. Look, the vehicles are good. I always say this about Ford. The F-150 Lightning is cracking, and the Mustang Mach-E is great, and the Transit's not a massive seller, but it's a great van. That's all they've got, and they're all kind of long in the tooth. And if you want one, you probably got one. And although they're changing the pricing and doing new trims and all the things that OEMs do to keep things alive and bubbling over, Ford don't have anything significant coming for quite a long time. Also, some turnover at their senior management in their Model E division as well. Nothing crazy, but odd times at Ford, odd times. Now let's move on. Mercedes GLC Electric gets its pricing and specs. I'll give you UK pricing and you can work it out from there. Orders for the GLC are open here in the UK, £60,000. That's about 10% above the internal combustion version. It debuts with the next generation grille and a dashboard sized infotainment touchscreen, and launches as the GLC 400 4MATIC. It's a twin motor, almost 500 horsepower, 62 mile an hour in 4.3 seconds, and 94 kilowatt hour battery, WLTP'd at 406 miles. This thing is a bit of a beast. It also charges over 300 kilowatts, by the way. Five trims: Sports, AMG Line, AMG Line Premium, AMG Line Premium Plus, just keep adding words to it, and the Premier Edition. Tops out about £74,000 here in the UK, and different power outputs. The most efficient variant, when we can get that, will do 435 miles. Now, we did get all those details around a couple of days after BMW revealed the iX3, which is 500 miles on Neue Klasse. And of course, any other day, Mercedes-Benz come with a GLC that does 435 miles. That's headline news. That's huge range. How often can we say that about an EV? But it was somewhat overshadowed, which I felt a bit bad for the Mercedes team about, because it came so close after iX3, and which does, really overshadow it, but that's still an amazing number. Now, let's talk about the big people carrier from XPeng, the X9. Now, this thing's really, really special. The XPeng X9's been on sale in China for a couple of years, photographed under camouflage whilst charging at an Aeon Drive hypercharger in Denmark. Now, this has been spotted by the industry website Electrive, and there's only one reason it'll be over here on charge, is because they're doing some work on that vehicle in Europe. When we get it, we don't know. Nothing else that we know about it. But covered in camouflage, it is the XPeng X9, which, you know, we know it was on display at the IAA show in Munich in September. 5.3 metres long, 3.16 metre wheelbase, 7 passengers in more than comfort. In China, premium electric vans of this size are often VIP shuttles, luxury chauffeurs, even mobile offices. You tend to be driven in them. Volvo already sells a similar China-only electric van. Mercedes is reporting targeting the segment as well with the successors to the EQV. I think they're called VLE and VLS. So very interesting. This very high level of people carry, of 7-seater, of 3-row, very large vehicle. I can't remember the charging speeds on that. I'll look it up, but that'd be fascinating if indeed it did come here. Now, let's talk a little bit about the BYD Atto 2. That is a Ford Puma sized vehicle. BYD is going plug-in hybrid with it. It's the smallest SUV that it offers, the Atto 2. Move is part of BYD's plan to diversify the powertrains here in Europe, trying to match where Europeans are in the demand for various powertrains. They call it the DMI plug-in hybrid. 56 miles of electric-only range. So, it's not huge, but it would do a lot of people, by the way. European mileage for commuting, that would probably do it if you're charging it overnight. Two plug-in hybrid versions with different battery capacities. BYD not disclosing all the configurations, the little petrol engine and things like that. There's an Atto 2 Pure EV, of course. That comes in either 174 or 201 horsepower configurations, depending on trim, and both do 62 miles an hour in 7.9 seconds. This DMI powertrain with a plug-in hybrid, they talk about being, you know, kind of very clever, very intelligent, saving energy for when you need it, and if you're doing long journeys, it'll do all that. Yeah, but kind of plug-in hybrids have really been doing that a long time, and I've not driven that, so I can't say that I've got personal experience of it. Maybe it has got a little bit of magic built into it, or maybe it's a good way just to advertise it. I don't know. But that would a plug-in hybrid at that price, in the 20s over here, that is a market of one, by the way. If you want a small SUV with a plug-in hybrid powertrain, your option is going to be the BYD Atto 2. There is just nothing else. There's small EVs. There's loads of small EVs, by the way. But nothing that size that's a plug-in hybrid. So kind of fascinating. Like, if that's what you are after, they've got the market to themselves for now. Anyway, let's talk about making cars in Thailand and shipping them to Europe. Of course, that has some tariff benefits as well. Changan Automobile is going to be the first to send their consignment of vehicles, 1,000 units of the Deepal S05. That's a compact SUV. The move follows BYD's expansion of its Thai production and builds on Changan naming the UK as a big export market since the last couple of years, actually. When the plant opened in May this year, it was announced the factory will produce left-hand drive models for European markets and right-hand drive for the UK, Australia, New Zealand. Changan intends to increase local content as well at the Thai plant, up to 80% by the end of the decade, they say. So working on all things like that. Making the cars in Thailand and then shipping them over to the UK now. We'll finish off by talking about another Chinese car. Just the way the news fell, by the way. I have a lot of listeners all over the world on the podcast. Big US audience. Apologies for doing another UK story right now. But it's where I am. I noticed it. Chery is launching the Tiggo 9. The Tiggo 9 is coming. It's a 7-seater. And it's a plug-in hybrid. It's an SUV, and it offers stronger performance and a longer electric range than most of its rivals. Of course, Chery doesn't mean too much to many people, but it's a massive automobile business. They entered the UK this year with the Tiggo 7 and the Tiggo 8. Now, they have sibling marks on that called the Omodas and the JQs, and they are doing really, really well in the last few months. So the Tiggo 9 is a big 7-seat, 3-row SUV. Starts at £43,000, so you're not even really close to the expensive luxury car tax that we have to pay over 40k. And so it would easily be the least expensive 7-seat plug-in hybrid in this class again. So there's plug-in hybrid versions of things like Volkswagen Tayrons and Kia Sorentos. There's a smaller version that they make called the Tiggo 8, which is a lot cheaper, closely related to the incoming Jaqu 8. This uses, again, what they call the super hybrid drivetrain. So 1.5-litre engine, two electric motors, and a 34.5 kilowatt hour pack under the floor. So that works out on WLTP at 91 miles on a large SUV. That eclipses about everything else. There's not too much. I mean, China has loads of big mileage hybrids, but the Volkswagen Golf and all those related vehicles as well, that new e-hybrid powertrain is up there, but it's not more than 91, is it? I'm trying to rack my brains while I talk to you about this. So I think 91 miles is right up there with the longest range plug-in hybrids, if not one of the most, here in the UK. Look, that's almost 100 miles of range. Okay, not real world, but still, as long as you charge that thing overnight, you got to charge it overnight. Come on, people. Don't just run it on petrol. Then I'm not sure you're making many trips to go and fill up the tank. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Loads more to talk about. Italy's got a new incentive deal, and regulators in the US have already noticed Mad Max mode in Teslas, and they're not happy. I'll tell you why. Stick around. Back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, General Motors will be eyes free. Doesn't that mean eyes off? But anyway, eyes free in 2028. Super Cruise, by then, they say, will be allowing you to remove your hands from the wheel and remove your eyes from the road. Removing the requirement to be visually focused on the road and have your hands on the wheel. The capability will debut, they say, on the Cadillac Escalade IQ and will be classified as a level 3 ADAS system. And so that's where they take on the liability. Which Mercedes do already, by the way. They have, you know, microphones in the car listening out for sirens and things like that. And they have lights on the outside of the car. This happens in China quite a lot as well. The lights, or there's kind of running lights on the outside that will often turn like a turquoise blue or something to let other road users know you're in autonomous mode in level 3. So GM say they'll get there by 2028. Look, 3 years away. Promises are made. We won't hold them to it if they don't do it. It'll use LiDAR on the Escalade IQ, which is a big difference from the current Super Cruise architecture, which is solely cameras, radar, GPS as well. But rolling out LiDAR, look, LiDAR's got so dirt cheap. And I totally understand why Mr. Musk, the CEO of Tesla, planted his flag many years ago and said, you know, LiDAR is a crutch. We'll never use LiDAR. Vision only is the way to go. Yeah, but in the last 10 years, like in the last 5 years, LiDAR has gone from the thousands to the hundreds, now to the tens of dollars. There's different qualities of sensor, there's different resolutions, but broadly speaking, LiDAR is coming down in price so quickly. We're going to see it on so many more vehicles. And again, Tesla have just sworn themselves off LiDAR, but that was a different era. But again, not the kind of person who I think probably easily admits defeat, perhaps. But we'll wait and see. So maybe Tesla go LiDAR one day. It's getting very, very cheap. So many China cars have it at ridiculously low prices. Italy is launching some state-backed bonus programs to go EV, offering subsidies to private buyers and small businesses, €11,000 if you're a private buyer to a new passenger electric car. That is, again, you've got to jump through a few hoops to get that. And that is up to $30,000, I think, on the purchase price of the car. Small businesses can receive up to €20,000 for light commercial vehicles. Applications are open, and you must submit it before you purchase the vehicle, and you must scrap a combustion vehicle up to Euro 5, which is a set of emissions regulations, and be registered in your name for at least 6 months. You can't go and get one from the scrapyard and trade it in. Now, the NHTSA, the regulator, safety regulator in the United States, has already noticed that Mad Max mode is back on Tesla, a driving mode that is added to its latest full self-driving supervised update. Mad Max has added to sloth mode for lower speeds. Mad Max, Tesla said, driver profiles now have a stronger impact on the behavior of the vehicle. More assertive the profile, the higher the maximum speed. Now, the NHTSA have launched an inquiry following social media posts from multiple Tesla drivers saying the new mode causes the software to exceed the speed limits. Yeah, this happened with Mad Max mode since autopilot in 2018. I think there was a time when I'm not sure it even had an upper limit, when it would just go, it would just blow through stop signs, ignore speed limits. I'm surprised, given the current, I would say, you know, pretty, not contentious relationship, but it's a little bit spiky at the moment, between perhaps the regulators in the US. There's a new head there that's previously in his old role gone up against Tesla. And also, after what seemed like a little bit of thawing of relationships in terms of the politics of the head of Tesla and the White House, things seem to have, you know, gone a little bit frozen again. So it's an odd thing to do, to be rolling out a mode which is intentionally breaking the law. I'm not saying they're goading regulators, but I think it's an interesting bit of timing, and we'll see where that goes. Let's talk batteries. QuantumScape has now been begun delivering new samples, B1 samples, of their new solid-state cells, including ceramic separators made with QuantumScape's new manufacturing process, which they launched in June. These separators are central to their plan lithium metal batteries with a solid electrolyte, and QuantumScape, not disclosing who it's going to, but Volkswagen is, you know, probably it, because they're a big backer of QuantumScape, and they've got those cells running around in test vehicles, motorcycles actually, evaluating them on the road. Uber is going electric. Earlier this week, Uber said they would offer $4,000 incentive to drivers who switch to electric. They're renaming Uber Green to Uber Electric. Eligible drivers can apply the rebate to new or used EV purchases in New York, California, Colorado, and Massachusetts, combined with state programs. And Colorado's Clean Fleet Program is one example of that. It means that you could get a lot of money off a vehicle. Uber reports around 200,000 EV drivers globally now, which is why they've renamed it Uber Green to Uber Electric, because, well, they are electric vehicles. Back in the day, green could mean hybrid, plug-in hybrid, shabby hybrid, like Toyota do, like 48-volt systems, or, you know, hydrogen people talked about at one point, all green technologies. But now we know that all of those are ridiculous and that the best way forward is pure electric. Then they've renamed it Uber Electric because, well, obviously. And finally, the UK charging sites that are being targeted by idiot thieves for what is probably £15 worth of copper cable and cutting cables. UK charging sites are now using a cable protector, which is a US invention called Cat Strap, and a new distribution partnership with eVolt Charging over here. Earlier this year, the Cat Strap drew attention when reports said that Tesla was testing it out using the Die Defender system. So that's kind of like the DNA sort of dye that if you cut it, it sprays out and it indelibly links you to that point in time. It's kind of a unique invisible dye that will tie you to the crime, has huge conviction rates. They use it in, you know, transporting money around and stuff like that. And so the business eVolt over here doesn't include that ink solution though, but it does include the mechanical version of it, the mechanical protector that goes over the top of the cables. It slips over the existing fast charging hose and has two 30 millimeter wide flexible steel straps, which are hardened to a very high hardness rate and exceeds most cutting blades. So whether you're trying to use a hand tool to cut it, or even if you turn up with, I don't know, an angle grinder or something, the blade gets blunted or breaks and the cable does not get severed. The business Cat Strap says that even after 3 minutes of cutting, 90% of the cable should remain intact. I would hope that we see these, as long as it's affordable relatively compared to replacing the cables for the charging companies. I think this is going to get rolled out to MFG. That's a British fuel retailer. And again, you know, we shouldn't have to be doing this. Just more evidence that we can't have nice things with some people in the world. However, if it can be retrofitted at a reasonable price, this does sound more like a deterrent. So, yeah, you probably could get through the cable with enough time with the right tools, but you'd see it. And, you know, a bit like cameras on the side of your house and security lights and all those kind of things, hopefully more of a deterrent. And then this weird phase we've had over a year, 18 months of people cutting cables for a few quid a copper can go away. That's your podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.